Hi, I'm John Papa. This is Silverlight TV, and I'm the Silverlight Evangelist with Microsoft, and today I've got the Expression Evangelist, Adam Kinney, with me again.
That's right.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening at MIX, because we're at MIX.
Yes.
It's a great conference.
It's my favorite conference.
Mine too.
Oh,
mine
well,
too.
Congratulations.
It's actually where I first met you last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I still invited you on the show.
So. Right. Okay, so it must have worked out.
Yes,
so
it worked out.
MIX is happening, and we have exciting news to talk about, right?
Yes, we do. We do. Silverlight 4 has its release candidate being announced at MIX in the keynote with Scott Guthrie. So you've all probably seen a lot of the information that's out there on the websites. We have a whole new Silverlight 4 training kit that's up on the website, and it's got new information up there as well as a revised white paper for Silverlight 4.
Great.
Plus, we've got a Silverlight line of business type course that we've put together through one of our partners, Ian Griffiths, who put together a full, I think he's got 25 videos up on the website, plus 8 different labs on a lot of different features for building business applications with Silverlight.
Very good.
So all that's up there, and you've got some content that you've posted up recently too, haven't you?
Yeah. So so Blend, we released a compatible version for Silverlight 4 as well.
Great.
And there's a white paper available. We'll have to link to it. I don't know the URL right now.
Yes.
But so there's a white paper available and a bunch of new code samples for all the cool stuff that's available.
Awesome. This is a really, really important release in my mind because this is the one that really ties the whole business application story together.
Right.
Silverlight. Obviously, there's other features besides business features.
Sure.
We can go through some of those today.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you, invite you on here to talk about what some of our favorite features are and what's come out with the release candidate.
Great.
And talk a little bit about what's happening here at MIX. And
so I've been looking. Are there a lot of major changes between the beta and the RC, or is it just kind of a refined version?
I think the answer to that is yes and no, both at the same time.
Okay, great.
There's a lot of major features, and the biggest ones that always pop out to me are the out-of-browser type features.
Right.
But there's also a lot of good refinements in the building rich interactive experiences.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a rich text box control now.
Is that a RIA E, did you just say? Rich interactive, no, experience, that's RE.
Rich interactive experiences, that's RI.
RI. Okay, that's just an impressive term. So, yes, so building better applications, right? So,
right.
And on the business side, I'll let you talk to that. Like, what are your some of your favorite new features that are available?
There's a lot of them. Some of them are the minor refinement side of the business side. Like, I really like the iCommand interface that's been added to Silverlight.
Okay.
It makes commanding a lot easier with MVVM, for example.
Right.
It's one of my favorites. WCF RIA Services is out in full force now with the Silverlight 4 release candidate. So that's a really big piece of the puzzle that really helps get rid of change tracking issues. It handles marshaling data back and forth across the server to the client. It handles a lot of your CRUD and your other methods, and it integrates well with authentication as well.
Okay. So now when RIA Services comes up, I usually describe it as like the glue between the client and the server.
Yes.
Applications. Is that it? That's a good definition.
Yeah, it's a good definition. Okay. It does a lot of things for you. And the funny thing is, if you've done a lot of applications, with especially business applications, you have to do these things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really truly appreciate RIA Services until you see all the stuff that it does for you that you can save your time on.
Okay, great. So there's an updated version of that.
There's an updated version for Silverlight 4 with a lot of new features, including some of the .NET 4 aspects they've taken advantage of.
Very cool. All right.
So, we can go back and forth a little with some of your favorite
features. So, I would say one of the big ones would be, one of the most talked about ones would be the webcam support. I know the API has changed a little bit in this version, but it's still there. So that's
changed from the beta.
Right, from the beta. It was made available in 4. So that's, of course, interesting. But another one that I'm really looking forward to is true implicit styles. It's something that we've had in WPF. And the whole idea is similar to CSS, where you can define all anchor tags follow this style. It's the same thing. You could say all text boxes follow this style. I don't have to explicitly put a name on them. So that makes things very
I've got a question for you. Playing like I don't know what this is in implicit styles, why is that so important?
Okay. Well, yeah. So it's so important because. So that way when you're defining the look or the theme of your application, you can easily set the style without having to explicitly mark it on each and every item.
Right.
So you can just say every text block looks like this, just if it's a text block. And then that makes it a little easier to say This is a special text block, so it has a name.
So maintainability is a huge aspect of that, then,
yeah,
and setting your styles.
Definitely.
It also reduces XAML ISO as well.
Definitely, which is always nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, keeps the file size down.
That's good, because it was at Silverlight 3 where the based on style came into play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in Silverlight 2, we didn't have any of this.
Yes.
We had styles.
Many styles.
Name styles. And you had based on. Now we have implicit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we're really growing in that area.
We're styling.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to say it.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay. So your turn now.
Okay. On that note, some of my favorite features are the outer browser features. The outer browser is introduced in version 3.
Right.
And then in the public beta, we came out with a lot of new features for outer browser, including elevated trust.
It's huge. It's a huge update to outer browser.
It's massive. There's so many features, I often have to look back at my own white paper to figure out what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite stuff, though, is the icing on the cake, the ability to customize the Chrome.
Right, that's
on the
a big
application.
One.
So now you can get rid of the border.
Yes.
You can include the border. And if you get rid of the border, you can also do slightly rounded corners, too.
Yes, we'd love that.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
definitely. That's a big
one. A good piece. And then Toast, which was out with the beta version. There's been some minor changes to it for the release candidate.
Okay.
But the toasts are a big aspect as well.
Right, yeah. Especially when you imagine the scenario where that outer browser app is kind of running off to the side. And then something happens. A Twitter client is a perfect example, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The notifications. And one of the things I really like, I've done a couple applications recently with, is you've got a multi-touch application maybe for a kiosk or something else, maybe one of the new multi-touch PCs that you have, and you want to do full screen, and you want to have full access to the keyboard. You can now do that, too, with elevated trust.
Right.
So those are some of my, outer browser in general is just one of my favorite features.
So you mentioned elevated trust, and in there's like a slew of features, right?
Yes.
So this is, I mean, can you explain it just real quick? Like, what happens to be elevated trust? Like, how do you get into that mode?
As a developer, the way you get into elevated trust is you go through a property on the Silverlight project and you select that you're going to be out of browser, and then you select that you're going to allow elevated trust. But what that really does is it removes the sandbox restriction when you're out of browser.
Mm-hmm.
So you can now access things like the file system. You can do full screen keyboard access in full screen mode. You can actually do native integration. So you can have COM interop and invoke Excel or Outlook. So you have much more control over what you're doing with the desktop when you're running an elevated trust. And there's specific reasons to want to do that for the application. It also prompts the user. It's not like you can just give it out.
Well, as I was going to say, the developer is just kind of like a checkbox, right?
Right.
And then they have a way to check to make sure they're actually in that mode. But what does the user see?
The user sees a more elegant box now. In the beta, there was a very ugly warning that came up.
Yeah, it was very scary.
It wasn't very scary.
It's like, I'm going to destroy your computer.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure it said that, but
that was my interpretation, sorry.
But the new box, I don't remember the exact wording on it, but it's much more Silverlight looking. But it still does have a warning on it saying, you know, we can do this.
Yeah.
We're going to allow file access, et cetera, on your machine.
Very good.
And you get to say yes or no and see where it goes from there.
Okay. So another big one to mention, I would say, on just that covers all applications is the rich text box.
Yes.
That's huge. That's very exciting to have a control like that. And I know one of the really nice features that they added from the beta is that you can now, there's a property on it called XAML, where you get the actual output of what the user has typed in. Before you had to kind of loop through it, and that was one of the refinements that I enjoy, I guess.
Yeah, so you can, in the beta, you could create all this great rich text content, but then getting it in and out was not easy.
Yeah.
In the release candidate, there was an obvious place that they were working on, so they created the XAML property.
Yeah. So, and then kind of going down that string of the text features, then there's also printing.
Yes.
So printing was a big requested feature. I know it was in the beta. And then are there any changes in the RC, or is it the same?
There's a few changes to the API, but it's basically the same printing engine, a few tweaks that they've made to it.
Okay.
There's also some techniques that you can employ, and some of them are on the training kit that we have on the Channel 9 website for doing multiple pages in printing, doing headers, footers, doing you have your set of content that you want to print, you don't know how long it's going to be, and we've got some code that you can use to actually do multiple pages.
Very good.
That's part of the training kit, not part of the SDK.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of features in there, especially in the training kit, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But one that I just want to make sure that we cover is the composite transform.
Yes.
Because in the past, you have a transform group, and then you have scale, rotate, translate, and one more?
Skew.
Very good. So you have all those four, and then you didn't know if maybe they were in a different order, if they were named or whatever, but everything is wrapped into one composite transform now with the appropriate properties. So It's just a, it's a simple like addition, yeah. but it's awesome.
And there's a lot of little changes like that that I think are really important in the Silverlight architecture. Composite transform, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, what's this? But you know, the more you look at it, if you've done any work, especially if you've done any work programmatically trying to create transforms,
exactly,
makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, so that's great. Are there any other, you know, there's a ton of small ones, but are there any other big ones that you want to make sure we cover?
Yeah, there's some a couple of big ones, again, in the business side of the world. We've got MEF, which is now a full player in the Silverlight environment. It's part of the .NET framework, so it's built in, but you can use MEF with Silverlight applications. And one of my favorite features of doing it, there's pluggability and composite architectures, but one of the nice features I really enjoy is you can dynamically load ZAP files using MEF.
Okay.
So we always have this issue with large applications where if somebody has, they'll write me an email and say, I've got a 20 meg ZAP file.
Right.
It's too large. How do I deal with this? Or I have multiple ZAP files that add up to that.
Uh-huh.
With MEF, it makes it easy to dynamically load these on the fly.
Right.
So you only load the ones that you need.
So it's like a very nice framework. You could do that in the past, right?
Yes.
So you had to write your own code. It was kind of up to you to do the quality.
Yep.
But now this is a full framework, and that's the main purpose of MEF. What is MEF?
Managed Extensibility Framework.
Okay. So that's exactly what it is.
Right? I'm terrible at translating acronyms, so I think I got that right.
That's good. That's right, I think. Yeah. Okay. So, and then there's another one? Another hot business feature?
There's a lot of good business features out there. We talked about RIA services. We talked about MEF. We've got the outer browser features. We've got the commanding. We've got the printing, which I kind of feel like is there. Right mouse click, drag, drop.
Yeah, yeah, definitely some good ones there.
List
and
goes on.
The neat thing about the right mouse click, which is another really requested feature.
Yes.
And the cool thing is that we just added an event, right? You can do whatever you want.
Right.
So it's not like an additional to the Silverlight mouse click. Right. Instead, you can make your own context menu. You can click a button.
And you can basically suppress the standard Silverlight menu, too. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, one of those subtlety, just I was thinking about the webcam, one of the subtle features that you get in the release candidate as well is if you go to the properties of the Silverlight application, there's now a camera preview on the tab for the webcam. So not only can you select the default webcam and microphone, you actually see if the webcam's on, you can actually see the webcam preview.
That's great.
As well. So it helps you if you've got like four or five webcams.
Yeah.
Like some of us do.
Oh, sure.
Or if you've got at least two.
Yeah.
To figure out which one is on, what it looks like.
Okay. Great.
So I think that's a lot of features.
Yeah, I know. Through. Yeah, I want to make sure that we don't spend a lot of time because you've already spent a lot of time on the training kit, the white paper, and the line of business training kit. Or is that right? Line of business training kit?
It's the line, the course and the training kit.
So it's a whole course. Is it like a 3-day course?
I believe we've got it to 2 days, two long days.
2 long days.
A lot of
two
good content
day
in there.
Course. Okay.
Yes.
But this is all about starting with Silverlight 4 and creating real, true business applications.
Right. We basically jump right into building the RIA services architecture and building a real application. Well, I should say Ian jumps right into doing this through the videos. And we've got the videos, the labs. We've got a lot of content that goes with it and some demos. The labs are very extensive. We cover a lot of features. And it's all to build an application called the Event Manager, which builds an event.
Wow.
So there's an out-of-browser version of it. There's an in-browser version. And it covers quite a bit of the business-oriented features.
Okay. And that's available on Channel 9?
Yes.
In the Learn Center.
In the Learn
that's
Center,
what they call it.
Right underneath Silverlight.
Okay.
And there's still some other one-off feature labs that we have in there as well for webcam, for multi-touch, some things that didn't fit necessarily into the line business course.
Great. Yep. Very nice.
So here at Mix, I hear that you have a session that's a lot of people are looking forward to.
I hope so. Right. So it's a session. It's called Flash Skills Applied to Silverlight. And the whole concept is, you know, you are an agency that does Flash work. You've been asked to do a Silverlight project, or you're just interested in expanding your skill set. But it's really, the idea is to kind of draw comparisons between, as an example, the language, ActionScript compared to C#. They're very similar. There's a few subtleties. And so we'll go through those, as well as I also have a sample application that I'm going to show that I've developed in Flash and then I've developed in Silverlight, and I'll talk about the differences. Like what I was able to take advantage of in Silverlight. Because some of the things I've seen is when, a Flash developer starts doing Silverlight development, they're still kind of following the same programming methods they would use in Flash and just not fully taking advantage of the features that are available in Silverlight. So that's what I want to try and help with, is just to make the transition smoother and easier and more fun.
So I take it you'll be showing a lot of blend during this particular presentation.
So as you mentioned in the beginning, I'm an expression evangelist now. Mm-hmm. I still focus a lot on Silverlight, but expression blend has been like the main thing that I use because, you know, not only is it great for UI and everything, but it's also a great learning tool because, it exposes so much for even the developer visually that it's a great place to start.
And as you and I were having a conversation before the show here, talking about how I'm a developer, obviously, mm-hmm. and I've written a lot of code, but getting into Blend, I there's certain things I can't imagine doing in Visual Studio that Blend makes tremendously easier.
Yeah.
Not that you can't do the Visual Studio, but maybe it takes me half the time in Blend, or it's just the visual appearance.
Right.
Of how it
works. Well, you can do everything in Notepad, right?
Exactly.
You could do it all.
But I could do Notepad and use command line to build it, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, but it's what the tools, you know, what their goal is, what they're trying to do.
Right.
And if it's any type of UI task or design-oriented task, mm-hmm. then that's what Blend's working on. So it's a great tool. It's fun to work with.
It'll be good, and I've got the boot camp, which
we
did yesterday.
Yes.
So the boot camp was with Mike Talty doing the Silverlight 4 features. We crammed as much into a 3.5-hour boot camp as we possibly could. And
I really enjoyed
it. Yes,
it was a good time.
Were you in that room?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the back. You know, I didn't want to take a seat.
Ah, so you're the guy who threw the tomato.
Yeah, I got it. I brought tomatoes just for you.
Awesome. So. All right, that's great. I appreciate you coming back on. And
yeah.
We should do this again.
I bet we will.
Excellent. And thank you, everyone, for watching Silverlight TV, and I hope you have a great time at Mix. Okay.